WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this November 1st, 2016. Yes, October is behind us. I trust that you all had a very great happy Halloween. I hope it was a safe and fruitful one, folks. And we now stare at November. I can't believe it's already a new month. Well, we got a lot to talk about. Well, today's show, I'm just getting back from Spartan Stadium because, of course, it's Tuesday. And each and every Tuesday morning, Mark D'Antonio, the head coach of the Michigan State football team, holds his weekly press conference to preview the week's upcoming matchup and to recap what took place on that previous Saturday. Now, of course, the Michigan State football team fell to rival U of M. You will get to hear what head coach Mark D'Antonio has to say concerning the loss now that he's had about 3 days now to let the loss marinate. He will talk about his team moving forward. He will address the six-game losing streak. Is the goal now to win out and play for a possible bowl game? He also addressed that, as well as a bit of a controversy, I guess you can say, concerning Chris Fry and the hit that he took on Saturday against U of M. Is getting national attention, and a lot of people are, I guess you could say, have a variance of amount of opinions concerning the whole situation. Some believe that Chris Fry shouldn't have came back into the game. Did he go through concussion protocol? Coach D addressed it, okay? You don't want to miss that. We will also talk a bit about the Detroit Lions as they fell to the Houston Texans this past weekend. They will now play the team that you saw lose to the Chicago Bears on Monday Night Football last night. Yeah, the Minnesota Vikings. What is going wrong with the purple, folks? We'll preview that matchup, and on the back end of the show, we will talk about Ray McCallum, former U of D basketball star who we thought was going to play for the Detroit Pistons this year, who was cut right before the season started. He is now going on a different venture in his basketball career, not in the NBA, but an affiliate to the NBA. You'll get to hear about that, and also we'll debate whether or not Tom Brady, that's right, the U of M quarterback great, is the greatest quarterback of all time. A pretty big name in the football world says yes. That and more, folks. But hey, you know how we start this party. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, we start with some preseason news concerning the Michigan State women's basketball team. The MSU women's basketball team just finished out of the preseason top 25 poll. Now, the Spartans are the first team among others receiving votes and will start the season at an unofficial marking of 26 in the nation. Now, Notre Dame starts the year at numero uno, really no surprise there, followed by Baylor and UConn, the usual suspects, right? South Carolina and Louisville round out the top five. Of course, the MSU women's basketball team gets underway this Sunday. Exhibition play, folks, and we will preview that matchup as the week goes on, all right? The College Football Playoff Selection Committee will announce its first set of rankings tonight at 7 p.m. on ESPN. This will be the first of five rankings from the committee that will be announced every week at the same time until Selection Day, which will take place on December 4th. As of today, Alabama, Michigan, Clemson, Washington, and Western Michigan, how about that, remain unbeaten. Conference titles, strength of schedule, and head-to-head competition will be the main factors in determining the rankings. We'll dive into those rankings and give you our thoughts as to who should be in the college football playoff if it was to start right now, later on in the show, so you don't want to miss that. All right, the 8-0 Western Michigan Broncos, speaking of them, travel to Muncie, Indiana to face the 4-4 Ball State Cardinals tonight at 8 p.m. on ESPN2. Number 17 Western is averaging 252.8 yards on the ground per game and are 15th in the country in time of possession, averaging 33 minutes and 49 seconds. Javion Franklin has stepped in after Jamari Bogan went down with an ankle injury on October 1st. Now, there has not been much set back as Franklin racked up 281 yards, almost 300, a school record 2 weeks ago at Akron. The Detroit Pistons, Andre Drummond and the Pistons take on the new-look New York Knicks tonight at 7:30 p.m. at the Palace of Auburn Hills. The Pistons have won two straight after an opening night loss to the Toronto Raptors and will look to push the streak to three. The Knicks followed up their opening night loss to the Cavs with a seven-point victory over the Memphis Grizzlies. Not only does forward Tobias Harris lead the Pistons in scoring, but his efficiency is key. Harris is averaging 18.7 points on a little over 50% shooting from the floor. Impressive stuff from Harris. Former Pistons point guard Ray McCollum is now going to play for the Grand Rapids Drive, per advice from Pistons head coach Stan Van Gundy. Of course, the Drive is the Pistons D-League affiliate. Van Gundy told McCollum this, quote, "I knew there were overseas options too, but if you're going to do the D-League, go to the place that allows you to play best. It's not about doing us a favor or anything. It's about what allows you to play the best," end quote. Now, who knows what could happen throughout the course of an NBA year? Injuries could happen. We may see Ray McCollum get bumped up from the D-League to the pros. We'll see. Only time will tell, folks. Happy for the kid. All right, sharpshooting legend Ray Allen has officially announced his retirement from the NBA at the age of 41 years old. Now, in a letter written to his younger self, Allen stated that he is, quote, "completely at peace with himself," end quote. Allen is a two-time NBA champ, once with the Big Three in Boston and the other with the Big Three in Miami. Allen is also a 10-time NBA All-Star and the NBA three-point all-time leading scorer. Jay Cutler threw for 252 yards and a touchdown after missing five games with a thumb injury. Rookie Jordan Howard ran for a career-high 153 yards and a TD, and the Chicago Bears stunned the Minnesota Vikings 20-10 on Monday Night Football. Now, the Bears, 2-6 on the year, sacked Sam Bradford five times while handing the NFC North leading Vikings 5-2 their second straight loss. Cutler was on target in his return from a sprained right thumb. Howard easily surpassed his previous high of 118 yards. Alshon Jeffrey got his first TD reception of the year, and Chicago outgained Minnesota 403 yards to just 258. The Vikings will host the Lions this Sunday. We'll have a preview of that one in just minutes, folks. Tom Brady and the New England Patriots handled the Buffalo Bills to the tune of 41-25 on Sunday, and Pro Football Hall of Famer Jim Kelly thinks his old team got beat by the greatest of all time, the GOAT. According to Mike Reese of ESPN.com, Kelly talked to ESPN's Chris Berman on Monday Night Countdown and said, quote, "I don't mind saying that," when asked if Brady is the greatest QB in NFL history. Now, Kelly acknowledged Brady's ability to put up head-turning numbers every season, despite not having elite talent every Sunday out. We'll debate that later on in the show, folks. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to be a part of the show, you know what to do. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also weigh in via social media, facebook.com/currentsports, or you can even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. Without further ado, let's start the show.
Yeah! the touchdown. The Texans with another one. Hopkins turned around and caught it. The ball was thrown, but his back was to Osweiler. On third down and 8. And that's intercepted. The receiver kept running. Jetson Batamosi in his first start in the NFL. Matt Prater gets the Lions on the board. Second pass for the Stafford rolling, throwing, open, and caught. The Orinnick touchdown Lions. Should be back even at 4-4, and their three-game win streak comes to an end.
I'm a dangerous man with some money in my pocket. Keep up. So many pretty girls around me and they're waking up the rocket. Keep up. Why you mad? Fix your face. Ain't my fault they all be jocking. Keep up. Players only.
Come on. Put your pinky rings up to the moon.
Oh, man. Yes, I love that groove from Bruno Mars. 24 karat gold. Every time I hear that song, I just want to just dance. All right, I'm containing myself right now because I got a job to do. All right. Welcome to this afternoon's WKAR Current Sports Tuesday edition. So honored you've allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. As I mentioned at the top of the hour, a ton to get to. A ton to get to on today's show. We, of course, will roll in many bites from this morning's Mark D'Antonio press conference. The Spartans coming off a loss to rival U of M. A lot of chatter surrounded around this team moving forward. Can they stop the bleeding this weekend against Illinois? All right. We'll answer that question, or try to at least. And is Tom Brady the greatest quarterback to ever do it? Is he the best to ever get behind center? That's what I want to know, folks. Because Jim Kelly, as you heard in our headliners, he believes he is. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. But we begin today's show intermixed with that hot groove from Bruno. Was, of course, a few calls from the Lions and Texans game. It took place on Sunday afternoon. The Lions, of course, fell to Houston, snapping a three-game losing streak for the Honolulu Blue and Silver. And, you know, you look at this team, the Lions sitting at 4-4 on the year, at 500. I mean, they are right in the thick of things when you take in consideration that the Minnesota Vikings lost to the lowly Chicago Bears last night. How in the world did that happen? I mean, we're talking about a Bears team that was 1-6 approaching that game, dead last in the NFC North, one of the worst teams in the NFL right now. And they beat the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings right now are on a two-game losing streak. Didn't see that coming, folks. Did not see that coming whatsoever. So you look at how the standings sit in the NFC North. Got the Vikings at 5-2, still leading the division despite the two-game losing streak. Right in back of the Vikings, you have the Green Bay Packers sitting at 4-3 on the year. The Packers haven't looked good this year. Also, the Detroit Lions at number 3 at 4-4. And then, of course, the Bears are not even in the conversation despite a much-needed win for them against the Vikings last night, and one that no one saw coming, all right? So there's so many areas that I want to touch upon. First off, when talking about that Lions game against Houston, I briefly touched on it during yesterday's show. The Lions, though, I thought that Theo Riddick had a solid game. Good day, especially when you consider that this is a man who missed the last 2 weeks prior to, due to an ankle injury. Theo Riddick, he had 11 carries, 56 yards. He's so speedy. That's what I love about Theo Riddick. I mean, he's a guy who's so shifty. And when he plants that foot and goes, it's tough to slow him down. And he can take a lick. It's very rare that you see Theo Riddick go down with just one guy in the picture. Okay, you may need another one to help. Eric Ebron at the tight end position. This has been Ebron's best year as a Lion. I think we can all agree on that. Ebron has been able to stay healthy, and he's also been able to be a very good complement to Matthew Stafford, who is still, I believe, in the conversation for NFL MVP. Stafford has been solid this year, folks. Eric Ebron's numbers, though, 7 catches, 79 yards. Definitely a shining light for that offense. But going to the opposite end here. Why did the Lions lose this game, okay? First off, I have to acknowledge the 8 penalties. The Lions have struggled with discipline this season. We've seen that far too often this year. And this is what really gets me. On third downs against Houston this past weekend, they converted just 27%. They weren't really moving the chains, folks. That offense got stagnant after first and second down. Now, the big conversation that had everyone talking when the dust settled against the Lions and Vikings was the coaching mistakes. Okay, first, why not challenge the DeAndre Hopkins incompletion midway through the fourth? It looked like Hopkins, you know, caught the football, made a football move, and then the football popped out. That could have been a huge turning point there. Now, you could also argue, I mean, you know, how many times have we seen referees sometimes you just don't know what's going to happen with the calls in the NFL today. It could have went the other way, but why not at least throw the flag out and see what sticks? Because it looked like to me DeAndre Hopkins had possession of the football, began to make a football move, and the Lions recovered after he muffed it up. Okay, I didn't understand that. And if you remember, on that drive, what happens? The Detroit Lions end up giving up 3 points. 3 points in a tight game. And then, this is what really got me. You know, after the Lions score, and they're down by a touchdown, Jim Caldwell showed no trust in his Detroit Lions defense. You have 3 timeouts, not to mention also a 4th in the 2-minute warning, and you decide to go for an onside kick with 2:53 left to play. Don't get that, Jim. What was that? I don't understand it. I really don't understand that. And we all saw what the Texans did. They ended up, you know, picking up some good yardage, moving the chains, running out the clock, and that's how that game ended. Okay. And looking at the 3-game win streak prior to this loss against Minnesota, I mean, Matthew Stafford had shown some late game heroics, folks. I mean, 3 straight games where he just pulled it out, you know, pulled a rabbit out of the hat, under a minute left to play, goes down the field and scores. At least give Matt the chance to do that and show some trust in your defense. 2 coaching blunders for me that aided in the Lions' demise against Houston on Sunday. So, looking forward now, and I must say this, though. Folks, the Detroit Lions sitting at 4-4 on the year. There are many folks out there, including myself, that did not think the Detroit Lions would even be in this position, okay? Come on now. Let's just keep it real. I didn't think the Lions would be sitting at 4-4 heading into this November 6th matchup this Sunday on the road against Minnesota. Didn't see that coming, especially when the Lions lost to the Tennessee Titans. Then they lost to the Green Bay Packers. And hey, another team that lost to the Chicago Bears. Yeah, the Lions lost to the Bears, if you remember, in week 4, 17-14. So you got 2 teams that lost to one of the worst teams in the NFL. And the Lions and the Vikings going at it this Sunday. That's pretty funny. I know if you're driving your car or you're at home listening to this, you have to be chuckling just thinking about that, all right? The only 2 wins that the Bears have had this year come by 2 teams that are in their respective division. That's funny to me. So, and you look at last night, I mean, man, this is a Vikings team that was just on a complete roll. Oh, my goodness. I mean, this sudden losing streak for many is surprising. I mean, a team that just a month ago played with so much swag, one of the most feared defenses in the league, now they just look lost. Lost in space right now. I don't know what's going on with the Minnesota Vikings. And evaluating that game against the Chicago Bears last night, the offensive line can't protect Sam Bradford. You know, and a defense that previously was the league's stingiest is now giving up a boatload of points. After allowing, get this, a league low 279.5 yards in their first 6 games, the Vikings gave up 403 to the Chicago Bears. I mean, riddle me that. I don't know. I don't get that. You know, Vikings coach Mike Zimmer said this after the game. Quote, we didn't make any plays. We didn't make any plays. They made them all, end quote. Very to the point, Mike. Very true. And it was a bit unnerving watching Mike Zimmer at the podium yesterday as he tried to put in perspective what had just happened. I mean, he's sitting there, tense face. He's got both hands gripping the right and left side of the podium. Short answers. Really didn't want to talk to the media because you could just see on Mike Zimmer's face that he does not know what in the world is going wrong for the Minnesota Vikings right now. And actually, if you remember, last week, Zimmer chewed out his offensive line and called it, quote unquote, soft. I don't know what's going on. I'm confused right now when it comes to Minnesota Vikings, all right? And, you know, this is the NFL. This is the NFL. You know, when you go on a losing streak, it takes a lot to bring it to a screeching halt because there's so much parity in the NFL. And that's why I love it. I love it, folks. It's not like, even though you guys know, I'm a huge NBA guy. I love my hoops. But you have a better chance predicting who's going to win the NBA championship than winning the Super Bowl every single year. That's just how it is. I mean, you look at the NBA, 7-game series in the playoffs. You know, the cream is usually going to rise to the top in a 7-game series. In the NFL, not only do you have a lot of parity, there's a lot of great players on every single team in the league, with the exception of a few. Not only that, but you talk about the playoffs where it's a 1-game elimination scenario in the NFL. I mean, you just never know. Sometimes it's a crapshoot. I mean, how many times have we seen teams go undefeated, i.e. the Patriots, you guys remember that year, go undefeated all the way to the big dance and then just can't get the job done. That's why I love the NFL. You just don't know. So it's one loss turns into two, turns into three. I mean, it takes a lot to take a stand and say, all right, we're not letting this thing get out of hand. And right now, Minnesota is clearly in jeopardy of doing that. And then you look at, you know, a few stats here. You know, during the fast start, the Vikings had given up just one play of 40 yards or longer at the beginning of the year. They were really stingy against the run, allowing less than 82 yards per game. On Chicago's third play of the game, just the third play of the game. And this is mental for me. It didn't seem like Minnesota came in with a winning mindset or ready to play in this game. On the third play of the game, Jordan Howard, what does he do? Rips off a 69-yard scamper. Longest game Minnesota has had all season. And on it went, folks. It just kept pouring on. By halftime, Howard already had 145 yards of offense. And the Vikings had almost matched their game average by giving up 234 to all of the Bears. Howard finished with 202 yards, including 153 on the ground. So, Detroit Lions, you got to be smiling from ear to ear right now when evaluating what has gone wrong with this Minnesota Vikings team as of late. This is a perfect rebound game for them. Now, again, we all know week after week after week, it's all about matchups as well in the NFL. But this Vikings team can put we've seen this Vikings team be very good. You know, arguably at one point this year, the best team in the league. And it's hard to imagine that they're far from that. We could see an entirely different, and I predict that we will see an entirely different Minnesota Vikings team than what we saw last night. So the Lions got to come ready. They really do. And this is the thing that about me when it comes to the Lions. The defense. I love the offense, and I think that Matthew Stafford has done a remarkable job with a target on his back. Of course, in lieu of the absence of Calvin Johnson deciding to retire and go on Dancing with the Stars. I don't know if you guys saw Calvin on Dancing with the Stars actually last night. He tore it up. Calvin Johnson he's turned into a pretty good dancer week after week on Dancing with the Stars. But he dressed up in the Halloween costume. It was pretty funny. But with the absence of Calvin Johnson, him now being a professional dancer, Matthew Stafford is forced to spread the football around more. And we're really starting to see what Matt can do. And he's been fantastic throughout much of this year. But it's that Detroit Lions defense that I just cannot read. That's the big thing for me, folks. That secondary. And we didn't even see Darius Slay. Darius Slay was out with an injury against Houston. And I think that also hurt them because we saw some big plays. Big plays made by Brock in that pocket. And they need to get Darius Slay back. They need to get healthy. He's their best secondary. He's their best cornerback, I should say. And the Lions defense, you just don't know what you're going to get sometimes. You really don't know what you're going to get. So that's the big question mark for me. They're going to have to come correct against many this weekend. But that was the big thing for me. I mean, Jim Caldwell, you know, not challenging the DeAndre Hopkins incompletion. Why an onside kick? That all aided in the loss, but it wasn't the sole reason why the Detroit Lions lost that game. So what do you think? What is your prediction on this Lions and Vikings game that would take place this upcoming weekend? Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Before we hear our first break, I want to briefly transition into college football, and I want to talk about tonight, because tonight's a pretty big night. The first week that the College Football Selection Committee will release their rankings. 7 p.m., ESPN, the first of five until Selection Day officially begins on December 4th. Now, as of today, as I mentioned in our headliners, Alabama, Michigan, Clemson, Washington, and how about Western Michigan? Two teams in the state of Michigan are among the unbeaten of the college football world. That's pretty cool stuff. PJ Fleck, shout out to you. And speaking of PJ Fleck, of course, 8-0 Western will hit the road to travel to Indiana. They will face 4-4 Ball State. I will be watching that matchup because I really haven't gotten a chance to sit back and watch an entire WMU football game. But exciting times. Exciting times for the Broncos. I'm curious to see where the select committee puts them. We all know. I mean, they're 8-0 now. They're going to make a bowl game. I'm curious to see how sexy of a bowl game they will make if they keep this winning streak up. They can finish the season, I think, undefeated. I really believe that. So right now, right here, beginning of the month, November 1st, 2016, if we had to pick our four teams who are right now shoo-ins to make the college football playoff, who would they be? I want to know. If you're watching via Facebook, if you're listening in your car, you know, if you can't call in, you know, go to Twitter at WKAR_sports, at Al Martin, WKAR, comment at Facebook.com/currentsports. I want to know, who would you put in right now? If today was selection day, who are the top four teams that deserve to play in the college football playoff? Because as of right now, for me, I think it's really a no-brainer for me. Alabama, Michigan, Clemson, and Washington. You know, amongst the four unbeatens, including Western. Those four for me, though, Bama, U of M, the Tigers, and Washington, those are who make my top four. And I think I will be very curious to see if any college football, you know, if the College Football Selection Committee does not have those four in right now. They would really have to convince me otherwise. It had to be a very compelling argument as to put another team in that fold. Right now, I want to invite briefly here Isaac Constance, our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, along with Luke Robbins, one of our PAs who's been doing a fantastic job throughout this semester. Isaac, am I crazy here to put those four in? I mean, it's really a no-brainer if you ask me.
Yeah, you'd be crazy if not to. That's the most sane pick that you might have ever made. Now, the order of that, of course, is a little bit up for debate. You could say that maybe Clemson deserves the two spot, maybe even Washington. You can throw them up there having a little bit higher of a grade. But at the same time, it's those four teams. It's Alabama, without a doubt, at number one right now. My number two comes in at, of course, Michigan. I think Michigan has earned that spot as well. Number three, I would go Washington just based on the style of play and the impressiveness of all their victories so far over Clemson. And Clemson gets four for me. There's no room for debate. Like I said yesterday, Louisville, honorable mention. I actually think they're the better team than Clemson, but unfortunately, I don't think they'll have the chance to prove it.
Luke, what do you think?
I think it's that order: Alabama, Michigan, Clemson, Washington. Mm-hmm. But I think this is only the first, the first ranking. So much is still left to be played. So much football is left. You know, Michigan still has to play Ohio State in the last in their last game. So I think that's what it is for now. But as we've seen before, things are subject to change.
They certainly are. And, you know, it's funny how the college football world, how the NCAA does this, because this is all about
just feeding the fandom that is college football. Does this even matter right now? I think maybe it gives you an insight as to what the committee is thinking right now and when it comes to how they view the entire landscape of college football heading into the final weeks here. But at the same time, man, this could all change from here till December 4th. This could all change in a little more than a month from now. So it's just about feeding the fandom. I mean, fans want to know, what is the College Football Selection Committee thinking right now? They want to know where these teams sit. And you'll see this. I don't know if it may be a 30-minute special, maybe an hour-long special. I don't know. I haven't looked it up. But as soon as the rankings come out, I'm turning it off. I'm not glued to my TV watching, you know. I'm pretty sure Herb Street and Fowler and the guys are going to break down why the committee chose to go the way they chose to go. But this could completely change as the year moves on. I mean, Luke, you brought up, and we discussed this actually after the Mark D'Antonio press conference this morning. I mean, Michigan still, I believe, even though Michigan State was very competitive in this game this past weekend, even though Wisconsin was very competitive as well at the Big House, we have still yet to see Michigan really tested. You know what I mean? Against a team like Ohio State. Now, Ohio State hasn't looked mind-blowing this year. I mean, you look at the past few weeks here, and the most recent, a really close one against Northwestern. I still like, though, the talent that Ohio State has. And I think that when Ohio State and Michigan meet, Michigan has to go on the road. Remember, this game will be at the Shoe. We'll really get to see how good this Michigan football team is. Again, you look at Michigan State, this was an unranked team that coming into it had lost 5 straight games, now 6. You're supposed to win that game. Wisconsin, granted, I think Wisconsin with that win against Nebraska this past Saturday, I think Wisconsin now has a great opportunity to rise in that section of the Big Ten and possibly meet Michigan again at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indy for the Big Ten Championship game. I still think that Ohio State is a better team than Wisconsin. Michigan has yet to be really tested by elite talent in the college football world. That's why I'm really circling that Ohio State and Michigan game for sure. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, you'll get to hear from the head coach of the Michigan State football team, Mark D'Antonio, as he tries to put in perspective the longest losing streak for the program since the beginning of the 80s. Yeah, folks, it's not all sunshine and rainbows in Sparty Land right now. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKER's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKER's Current Sports. If you want to be a part of the show all the way up until 2 p.m., call in 517-355-WKER. That's 517-355-9527. The Michigan State football team sits at 2-6 on the season. Yeah, 2-6. I never thought I'd be saying that. Man, 0-5 in Big Ten play. 6-game losing streak for the Spartans, as I mentioned before the first break. The longest losing streak for the program since the early 80s. Michigan State will now travel to Champaign, Illinois this weekend to face Illinois on Saturday at 12 p.m. in Memorial Stadium. Now, Saturday's game marks the 46th meeting between Michigan State and the Illinois, and the Spartans lead the all-time series 26-17-2. The past two games, sophomore running back LJ Scott has rushed for 267 yards on 42 carries. He has certainly been a positive in just a dismal year. He collected 128 yards on the ground, including a career-long 48-yard rushing TD at Maryland, and followed that performance with a season-high 139 yards on 22 carries against number 2 Michigan this past weekend, the nation's top-ranked defense. Interesting game. We broke it down yesterday We talked pretty much Sparty and Wolverines all hour, folks. And we had a few callers call in and voice their thoughts on what is taking place. And we talked about how, you know, what is the move right now for fans out there? Because on one hand, you look at it and you say six straight losses is certainly ugly. Really ugly. But at the same time, you look at that second half, Michigan State was pretty competitive. And this was a team that was a 24.5-point dog, and they made it a dog fight, without a doubt. And U of M fans, a few U of M fans out there are saying, why didn't we blow them out? Why couldn't we blow them out? That's a big question on their respective minds. And I mentioned LJ Scott. He's been a positive for this team this year, 139 yards, averaging over six yards, per carry against U of M this past weekend. He's been great. Then they went away from him. They do a great job of getting him involved in the first drive, and then they went away from him and put in Jarrell Holmes in the second drive. I didn't understand that. I won't recap the entire conversation of what took place on the show yesterday, but what I will do is roll in a few bites from this morning's post-game press conference with Coach D, who, and I think everyone can agree on this, Mark D'Antonio has been handling this stretch of football. You know, the nightmare that has been the last 6 weeks. He has been handling this quite well. Quite well. I mean, especially when it comes to us media members. I mean, he walks in, he answers every single question. He tries to keep it light. He may crack at least one joke throughout the presser. I mean, he is trying to keep sane right now. I mean, because if he let this stretch of football consume him, I mean, he may need to see a psychiatrist, folks. It's a tough year. It's a tough year right now. A tough year in which D'Antonio says he needs a particular player. D'Antonio needs what he calls soldiers.
We need soldiers that keep marching. And we've always had good chemistry here. That will be maintained. Structure will be maintained. Order will be maintained. And a competitive environment will be maintained. Everybody has future goals, whether that's a freshman, what he's trying to accomplish, getting to that next step in his journey here as a football player, or whether that's a senior outgoing with hopes of playing at the next level, or whether it's a senior moving into his last month and a half of football. All of us have future goals. We keep our eye on those goals and maintain the focus that we have in order to accomplish those goals. If you don't concentrate on the present, then, you know, your future goals are going to fade away on you too. And I think that's basis for all of us. So we'll continue to focus on that.
Luke Isaac, I must be honest with you guys. If I was going through what Coach D is going through right now, especially when you take in consideration how good this MSU football team has been in recent years, Cotton Bowl wins, Rose Bowl wins, goes to the college football playoff last year. Coach D'Antonio going on a six-game losing streak this season, a year being removed from the college football playoff. No one saw this coming. I don't know how I'll be handling it. When I have to go in front of media members, I probably would have, during at least one of those six losses, I know me, I probably would have lost my cool during one of those press conferences. Mark D'Antonio has dealt with this remarkably well. Luke?
I think the interesting thing to me is this season, especially at these press conferences, it seems like he's always been controlled, but he's cracking more of these jokes now that he's losing than he was when he was, you know, seeing all the success.
Well, what are you going to do? I mean, what are you going to do? Because if he does let this get to him, what does that do for your morale? And you know, especially when you look at your players, the players are a reflection of you. If Mark D'Antonio comes out and is just so uptight and stressed, you better believe that his players are going to be like that as well. So he understands that he is a reflection of his troops, and he has to keep everything in perspective and try and look at the glasses half full. And that's admirable, to say the least.
Yeah, to see, for me, maybe it was just the TV show that I watched last night. You know, I always watch a TV show at the end of every day out to decompress. Mm-hmm. Because I work a lot. I need something at the end of my day to really put it all in perspective.
I'm glad it's a TV show and not anything else.
Oh, whoa. No. But anyway, Tobias Funke of Arrested Development, I was watching yesterday, and it made me think of Mark D'Antonio at some of these press conferences. Because Tobias doesn't get this one job in an episode of Arrested Development. He starts laughing about it and stuff, and then he says, excuse me. Then shows him go upstairs, put in a towel in his mouth, and start sobbing uncontrollably. Mm-hmm. I'm not at all suggesting that's what Mark D'Antonio is doing. Mm-hmm. I am suggesting that's what he's feeling right now. It's one of those things where it really is hard to maintain that outer shell of positivity and a good attitude when you're going through all of this. Six straight losses for a team that, like you said, has had so much success. It really is difficult to not only manage your team, but manage your own emotions as well. Just like you, Al, I will have gone off at some point. I've got to commend the way that Mark D'Antonio has stood up, protected every single player on this team, and strive to keep going forward.
He's talked this season about pointing the thumb, all right? Just looking at you, looking at yourself in a mirror and figuring out, you know, how to get better each and every day. Here's Coach D on energy.
Well, as I open this thing, we've had energy every game. If we come out without energy, if we come out just not doing anything, I would assume that things aren't going well. But we've come out, I don't know how many different series we've gone down the field and driven the length of the field and scored on the first series. Or, you know, we jump out at 14-0 against Northwestern or whatever it is. So we come out, we have good practices, we've remained together. I come to this press conference every week. Okay, so keep moving.
Keep it moving, right? D'Antonio also commented on who I really think is going to be such a dynamic, game-changing player as his career moves along here. Freshman Donnie Corley, who had a lot of hype coming into this season. I remember, you know, we all remember the catch that he had in high school, right? In state championship game. Left corner of the end zone. He goes up, looks like Randy Moss, right? And, you know, when I first saw him there, and I was actually going to broadcast the PW state championship game. So I was down there at Ford Field, and I saw that moment, and the coaching staff goes crazy. I remember that moment and saying that, wow, Donnie Corley, that kid who just made that catch, is going to be a Spartan next year. And the hype just continued. It continued throughout spring training camp. You heard all these great things about Donnie Corley emerging and going to be such a huge factor for this team. But when you have a quarterback situation like Michigan State has had this year, where Tyler O'Connor began the year not very accurate, a lot of growing pains with him, finally taking the reins as the starting guy. Eventually, you know, he leaves, you know, his inconsistent play left the door open for guys like Damian Terry and Brian Lewerke to have a shot at this thing. When you have a situation like this where the quarterbacks are constantly changing and you don't know who's starting, you don't know who's coming in each and every quarter, it's hard to develop chemistry as a wide receiver with the man behind center if that name on the back of the jersey is constantly changing. However, we've seen moments this season, and heck, we saw him have a touchdown catch in the waning moments of that U of M game on Saturday. We've seen moments this season where Donnie Corley has shown shades of brilliance. And I think this kid is going to be so good as the year goes along. He's so athletic that we actually saw him change his number to 2-9 instead of just 9 and go out there and play some defense. Here's Coach D on the versatility of Donnie Corley.
No, you know, I really see him being a lot like Tony Lippett in a lot of ways, you know, understanding everything defensively to be able to put him in there when we need him. But I think he's got a big upside as a wide receiver, can make a lot of plays. So I think his home receiver, and then he has to transition to corner as we go. I think there'll be opportunities to do that for him. And like I said, you know, when I was at Ohio State, the most Chris Gamble ever played was he played 113 plays one game. So, but he was over 100 six games in a row. So it can be done. Lippett has played a lot of plays in the past too, and now he's starting in the NFL as a corner, I think, in what, his second year. So it can be done. I think there's an upside to it, and whether Lane stays over there or not will depend on how others come and on both sides of the ball. But we're going to get our best guys playing, and that's my goal and my challenge all the time is get your best players playing and allow them to have opportunities that allow them to flourish.
Yeah, guys, when I saw Donnie Corley this past weekend playing defense, the name that immediately came to my mind was, of course, what D'Antonio just said. Tony Lippett, who's now in the NFL playing defense for the Miami Dolphins and having a pretty good year, if you ask me. Donnie Corley is a versatile player who I think is going to get better as his career blossoms. And when Michigan State figures out who is going to be the solidified quarterback moving forward and when they get some consistency in that area. But in the meantime, I really thought it was pretty cool how Coach D said, okay, I think that Coach D sympathizes with Donnie Corley. He knows that he has a gym. And he knows that this is a circumstantial situation for Donnie as to why we aren't seeing him blow up the stat chart each and every Saturday because of the changing of the guard or changing of the quarterback, right? So why not put him on defense and see what he can do? We saw Tony Lippett enter his MSU career playing a bit of defense, and we saw him blossom in that position. And then, of course, Tony Lippett in his senior year, we saw him play, and showcase that ability quite nicely, I might add. We saw him play a bit of corner, and now he's playing that position in the NFL. What has impressed you guys about Donnie Corley, and how good do you guys think he can be? We'll start with Luke.
I think he's very special, and I think, like you were saying, is, you know, they haven't had consistent quarterback play. You know, he's not getting the numbers that he might think he is. So getting him on defense, getting him reps, getting him in the game, you know, this is a special kid. Mm-hmm. And you want special players to play as much as possible.
Got to be frustrating, though. I can only imagine what's going through Donnie's head. You know, I looked at him on the sidelines of that Michigan State loss, and he just looked ticked, to say the least.
Yeah, he sure did. Mm-hmm. Corley had the hype of a five-star recruit coming into this program. He was a four-star, but everybody knew him so well from that King catch in the state championship and all his contributions to that program throughout his 4 years there. So Corley coming in had all the touting of somebody who was expected to do great things from the very start, much like Tony Lippett or anybody else on this program. It wasn't necessarily the case of a Jeremy Lankford who came in as a two-star cornerback or safety, and then transition to a running back. Corley was expected to play this versatile role. What's impressed me the most about him, though, and, you know, I guess you could say this about any position, but receiver, you got big receivers, you got small receivers, you got speedy ones, you got possession ones. Donnie Corley is just instinctual. He's a ball hawk. He always knows where to go up and get it, best exemplified by the Notre Dame catch where he hurdled a defender pretty much in order to haul that one in. Donnie Corley, that's why I think he can be a great cornerback as well for this program. I think he can do it on both sides of the ball. Now, I'm not sure if he should or not just because of the amount of fatigue that would wear on him. But at the same time, Corley definitely has the instincts and the natural ability to be able to play on both sides of the ball just because he knows how to whip his head around and he knows to track the ball down whenever it is and wherever it is.
Yeah, and I think it all depends on the player. I mean, we saw Jabril Peppers play everything but quarterback against Michigan State this past weekend. I mean, he's such a versatile phenom. I think it all depends on the player, and I think he can, you know, slowly but surely matriculate to the defensive side of the ball as well as offense as well. All right, final two bites here before we hit our second break. Coach D'Antonio, were you ever prepared for a 6-game losing streak this year? I mean, I think that's an easy answer, right? Here's Coach D on that.
No, I was never prepared for it, but that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. And but you know, I don't think you prepare for that. My goals are not to be there. I think though that what I have experienced in my lifetime as a person and in my lifetime as a coach prepares you for these times, and you better be at your best when these times occur. So that's what I'm going to continually try and do. I'm going to my best. I'm going to answer questions straight up. I'm not going to try not to dodge things. I'm going to try and be there for our football team, for our players. So that's what I think you have to do. You know, nothing prepares you for the downsides of life, but you go through them and hopefully it strengthens you. But I've been, you know, Youngstown State, we're in 9, I think, won our last game. They won numerous national championships after that. So,
all right, folks, that's just a few bites from this morning's Mark D'Antonio press conference. I want to save this last one
for after the second break because I have an interesting take on it. It concerns Michigan State linebacker Chris Fry, who absorbed a helmet-to-helmet hit during Saturday's loss to Michigan. One of the biggest concussion in football, you know, critics took notice and sent out a tweet that criticized the MSU football program. I'll round that up and wrap it up right after the second break, okay? You are listening to Current Sports. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Less than 10 minutes left in the show. Again, we're taking your calls. You have to make it brief, though. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Michigan State linebacker Chris Fry absorbed a helmet-to-helmet hit during Saturday's loss to Michigan. And Chris Nowinski took to Twitter during that game when he saw the hit and tweeted this, quote, "Shameful," in all caps, "MSU's number 23, Chris Fry, can't stand up after brutal helmet-to-helmet hit. Back in game in 2 minutes. No hashtag concussion evaluation, ? And, of course, he tweeted addressing it to the accounts of the Big Ten and the NCAA's Sports Science Institute, along with the hashtag brains for brains. Now, Fry was helped off by the, you know, off the field by MSU's medical staff and then went to the sideline following the hit, which actually took place at the 5:20 mark of the second quarter. And, you know, I was in the press box watching it. I didn't see the hit because, you know, when you're in the press box and you're watching the game, I mean, there's so many, so many things that happen during one play that it's impossible to see it with the naked eye in the press box, you know? And, you know, during the broadcast, the announcers, I guess, replayed the hit and acknowledged that, oh, man, that's a helmet-to-helmet, you know? Maybe that's, you know, he's going to have to be looked at for a concussion. And Nowinski felt like MSU didn't do its due diligence in making sure that Fry was 100% good to go. Mark D'Antonio addressed that situation during this morning's press conference. Here is what Coach D had to say.
Well, I know he went to the protocol because everybody always does. I mean, Dr. Cox is a leading neurologist that's on our sideline. He's not up in a box. He's on our sideline. So our players who have any evidence of a concussion or take any kind of big hit, they immediately see him. They have baseline tests that they must go through based on their past histories and things of that nature. So they've gone through the protocol. I was aware that he had taken a hit.
Now, the player who actually laid the hit on Fry was not ejected due to targeting, and I really think the NCAA needs to take a look at how they rule what is targeting and what is not targeting, because there is a ton of gray. Okay, we saw Malik McDowell earlier this year get flagged for targeting and get, you know, thrown out the game and have to sit the first half of the following game for a hit that I really didn't think was targeting. Just my opinion, though. But when you look at this hit on Fry, it was clearly targeting. You know, when it comes to the literal sense of how the rule should be implemented, I mean, this is a player, U of M player, who launched helmet first with the crown of his helmet to Chris Fry and completely laid him out. That could have been really serious. Yet he stays in the game. So Mark D'Antonio said that Dr. David Kaufman, that's who he's referring to in that snippet, David Kaufman is on the sidelines, and he's in charge of going through concussion protocol for any player that looks like, they may have taken a helmet-to-helmet hit, or it looks like they may have a concussion. And Mark D'Antonio, you know, at first he said that, you know, Coach D was like me. I mean, he didn't see the hit. He didn't actually know that it took place until halftime of the game. But he says that Fry went through concussion protocol with David Kaufman, Dr. David Kaufman, and he was okay to go. So, you know, for me, if Coach D says they went through concussion protocol, I trust that he did go through concussion protocol. And the thing about concussions are, and we actually had Joanne Gerstner on the show and Dr. Kutcher on the show. They have written a book on concussions. And what really stands out about this whole concussion situation is that everybody who is perceived to maybe have a concussion eludes different symptoms. There is not a foolproof method to diagnosing an athlete with concussion, especially during the moment of play, in the heat of the battle, because everybody has different symptoms. So, heck, who knows if Chris Fry has a concussion or had a concussion in that moment? Because it's really not 100% right now. We're still learning things by the day. But I do trust that Michigan State's coaching staff, you know, crossed his T's and dotted his I's to make sure Fry was okay. Now, Mark D'Antonio, the only problem I had with was that the U of M player, and I don't even know who it was. I have to go back and look at the film. But that the U of M player, number 10, I'm surprised he wasn't thrown out. I mean, I'm looking at the play right now. This is on Chris Nowinski's official Twitter page, and he actually took a video of the play. And you can clearly see number 10 launch his helmet, you know, at Chris Fry. Chris Fry not even really, couldn't even see him coming on his right side. Helmet-to-helmet contact, launching his body with the crown of his helmet. I'm surprised that player was not flagged and thrown out of the game. That's what really shocked me here. And Mark D'Antonio has said that he has had discussions with the Big Ten, and he was asked, you know, whether or not he would like to share that conversation with the media, and he said, no, that's not my job. That's the Big Ten's job. So hopefully they release a statement concerning it, because from what we've read and what we've seen in college football and, heck, even at NFL level, that play right there, and I encourage you to take a look at it. If you didn't see it during the broadcast, that play right there is what football is trying to stop. The referees just clearly, and I do mean clearly, missed it. All right, folks. Well, we just have 1 minute left here on the show. Wanted to definitely get to this whole debate whether or not Tom Brady is or should be considered the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. We'll table that for tomorrow. We will also recap tonight's Pistons game. The Pistons welcome the New York Knicks to the Palace of Auburn Hills. We'll recap that game as well as talk about a possible move for the Detroit Pistons downtown Detroit. We'll have a special guest to dissect that one, folks. That and so much more during tomorrow's Current Sports. Thanks so much for tuning in to this edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and be easy, people.